The South African Reserve Bank has trimmed interest rates by 50 basis points since October last year, if memory serves, and now signals a cautious path forward and is targeting a neutral rate of 7.25%. But with inflation still volatile, but there's some good news, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. Global risks are mounting and growth is faltering. So is the South African Reserve Bank, I wonder, playing it too safe or not safe enough? I want to discuss that in some detail with Sanisha Bakire Sami, who's an economist at Momentum Investments. Sanisha, welcome. Thank you very much indeed. Let's start with today's CPI numbers, which were out today. Inflation easing to an almost five-year low. What's your assessment as far as that's concerned? And what sort of path is that setting us on?
Hi, Jeremy. So good to be with you today. Well, if we look at the inflation print, you know, we've had a string of downside surprises of late. We even saw that the Reserve Bank themselves admitted that they did underestimate the extent of disinflation, and they mentioned that in their recent April report on the monetary policy review. And today's inflation print, you know, justified that view as well. Now, if we look at the breakdown of inflation, you know, food inflation remains quite muted at just over 2% in year-on-year terms. We have seen the benefit of lower international oil prices coming through, so fuel deflation of 8.8% in year-on-year terms. And even if we look to the services basket, things like rental inflation, which actually make up quite a big component of services and the core inflation basket, also still quite modest in an environment where there isn't a lot of demand. However, we have heard from the Reserve Bank that they are still signaling caution. It is an extremely risky and volatile environment on a global scale as well as domestically. And some of the upside threats to inflation include things like the value-added tax increase, the potential for the 90-day reprieve to end, and eventually for South Africa to see higher tariffs being implemented. And then just, of course, the impact of global trade uncertainty, which is now at, you know, all-time highs, and how that can influence the rand in a more negative way.
So against that backdrop then, are you still nailing your colours to the mast and saying that there is room possibly for another rate cut this year?
So if we look at the forward rate agreement, which is really just, you know, the fixed income markets' expectations for interest rates, they are looking for one more interest rate cut towards the end of the year. You know, I think that the hurdle to cut interest rates at this point in time is still a little bit high. Remember that even though, you know, today's inflation print came out at quite a margin below what was expected by the market, the Reserve Bank always looks to inflation 12 to 18 months ahead of where we are. And that's effectively the period in which the tariffs, the value-added tax increase, the global trade uncertainty and potential weakness from the currency can have a more negative influence on the inflation rate. So from that perspective, I think, you know, the hurdle to cut interest rates is still a bit high in an environment of very elevated uncertainty. And I think that further into 2025, there's going to be quite a difficult decision facing our Reserve Bank. And that's going to be, you know, trying to balance the growth risks. So if growth does falter quite significantly, I do think they need to review, you know, their decision on monetary policy to maybe think about cutting interest rates a bit further to support growth, even in light of those inflation risks. But I think for now, as we've seen with a number of central banks, it's a bit of a wait and see mode in terms of, you know, which of these risks are actually materializing to growth on the downside and which of these risks are materializing to inflation on the upside, and then balancing the two.
And Sanisha, as you suggested earlier, it's becoming a very difficult global and local climate to analyze, given that the SARB got both growth and inflation wrong last year. Does it need to recalibrate or perhaps re-examine its own modeling, do you think?
To be fair, you know, I think if we look at the consensus figures, most of us were quite out on both of those fronts as well. You know, in an environment where we are seeing a lot more volatility inherent in inflation and GDP, forecasting is becoming a far more difficult game. So, you know, taking a bit of a historic lesson, if we go back into the early 1980s, you know, we were in this period of what they call the Great Moderation. So there was very little volatility in inflation prints, you know, little volatility in GDP growth measures. So that was quite an easy almost environment for monetary policy makers to operate in. But since the global financial crisis, we've seen a number of economic and political calamities coming one after the other. And this has caused a much higher level of geopolitical risk, a much higher level of uncertainty. And I think we have, ushered in an era of far more volatility in measures like inflation and growth and that uncertainty that comes with it. So one only needs to look at, the range of forecasts out there, even for an economy as big as the United States. You've seen quite a big range of growth forecasts and inflation forecasts for 2025, and that just speaks to the elevated risk that's currently in the environment.
How difficult these days is it becoming for countries, including South Africa, to tame inflation? Is it becoming more or less costly?
So what we look at in South Africa's case is something called the Phillips curve. So that basically talks about, the cost of trying to reduce inflation without negatively impacting growth. And if we go all the way back to the early 2000s, and this is when South Africa's inflation target was introduced, there was still very little credibility. It was a new target. Inflation expectations were still quite high at that point. Inflation measures were still quite high at that point. And so at that point in time, between 2000 and 2003, there was actually quite a high cost of getting inflation lower, a high cost to growth. Then we entered a period between 2004 and 2009, or just before the global financial crisis. And that was a period in which people got quite used to inflation targeting as a new measure. They also got quite used to SARB credibility. And in that period of time, it was actually less costly to bring down inflation with less damage to growth. Then, of course, we got hit by the global financial crisis. And then that period between 2010 and into 2019, we also saw, that period where the SARB started to effectively guide towards inflation of 4.5%. And they've mentioned in the past it was actually quite an easy thing to do because the cost to growth wasn't that high at that point in time. However, what we have seen post the pandemic, so this is from 2020 onwards, we have seen far more volatility coming through in inflation measures. We have seen, for example, inflation expectations also becoming a little bit more de-anchored. We've seen a lot more volatility in things like the currency. And so in that kind of environment, there would be a slightly higher risk to the growth outlook if we try to bring inflation down. The real worry here is that we enter what we call a stagflationary environment, which is higher than expected inflation, lower than expected growth. That's an extremely difficult environment for central bankers. It really is between, a rock and a hard place to make a monetary policy decision in that kind of environment, because to try and tackle high rates of inflation does come at quite a cost to the growth rate. I will say in South Africa, we've been quite fortunate. We've seen globally where food and fuel prices went to extreme highs and then came off, but then we saw second round inflation creeping in. So services inflation, wage inflation taking up. But in South Africa, because we had quite weak demand, we had that hit from food and fuel. And when that washed out the system, we didn't actually see massive second round inflationary impacts coming through. So we're quite fortunate to have inflation, currently below the bottom end of our 3 to 6% inflation target range. Whereas in a number of economies globally, both developed and emerging markets, they are still contending with inflation that is above their target ranges.
And that's where I am going to leave it. Sanisha Rapakirasamy, thank you very much indeed. Economist at Momentum Investments, always appreciate your time.